and that's been quite exciting. And someone said, "Are you come to talk about that?" Well, I was asked to do some teaching. I'm quite happy to talk about Gloucester City Mission. Just working on a new PowerPoint, an updated one. So maybe one day come and share that with you. But I want to look at the message today. It's called Hearing and Obeying. And it's about evangelism and sharing our faith. Hearing the Lord and obeying. And I want to look at a fantastic example, a guy called Philip. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn with me to Acts. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. And we'll read about Philip. chapter 8, verse 1. And my Bible says the church persecuted and scattered. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. He'd just been martyred, the first martyr, Stephen. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits come out, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Now we go to verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, just continuing this story of Philip and what God's doing with this man. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out and on his way met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him about the good news about Jesus. And as they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus, and travelled about preaching the gospel in all towns until he reached Caesarea. I want to look at Philip. This is Philip the evangelist, not to be confused with Philip the apostle. I'm just trying to find my notes. I've got them somewhere. Put them in here this morning. Here we go. Not to be confused with Philip the Apostle. This is Philip the Evangelist. He's got the title in Acts 21, verse 8. He is referred to as Philip the Evangelist. Paul instructed Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, but Philip gets the title. I guess it was to differentiate the two folks. And he's one of the seven deacons that was chosen in Acts 6 when the men were complaining that people, the Hebrews were complaining that the Greeks were being looked after, and they said, we'll choose seven godly men. And they chose seven Greek men. And then while all this is going on, the first martyr, Stephen, is killed and stoned, and Paul is there watching. And that's the backdrop. Now, it's amazing that at that point, the church went underground. The church was scattered. And it went, the church went underground. And the amazing thing is, I don't know about you, if I'd seen Stephen stoned or heard about it and saw this guy Saul putting people into prison and dragging off men and women, maybe killing them, and I think I would have gone very quiet and kept laid very low and kept very quiet. But not Philip. We're told in the Bible that this guy can't stop telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. There doesn't seem to be any direct guidance. It's where he went, he spoke about Jesus. And I love that because I use the guidance of Acts 16, where the apostles were taking the gospel. I think Paul, they're going to Bithynia, and it says the Holy Spirit stopped them. They were going to go to Asia. Spirit of Christ stopped them. And then they got the Macedonian call. And one of the problems I find with some churches, they spend so long trying to get guidance or waiting to their right before they can evangelize. If you wait to your right, you'll never evangelize. And he just kept going. And like the early apostles, they just kept going, preaching the gospel until the Lord prevented them and said, no, this is right. And then they got the Macedonian call. And he went to Samaria. Now, why did he go there? Why did he go to Samaria? I think he was very shrewd. I think he probably thought the authorities would not look for a Jew in Samaria with the Samaritans because they had no dealings, as the Bible often tells us. They just hated each other and they just did not mix. And it goes right back centuries, certainly a long time, to David united the kingdom. He brought the Jews together in a united body. And then due to the sins of Solomon, the kingdom was divided when Rehoboam came into power. And because Solomon, it said, was led astray by many women and he followed false gods. And it's a terrible sadness on the people of God at that time. And the northern kingdom went into exile somewhere about 700 BC. And they didn't keep to their Jewish roots. They intermarried. They followed false gods. Whereas the southern kingdoms, Judah, they when they went into exile, they very religiously, very dogmatically kept to what they believed. And they refused to lose their identity. So when they eventually come back from exile, they just didn't get on at all. And they wouldn't condemn the others. And we often know about the Samaritans and the Jews having no dealings. So I think he was very shrewd. I think that's why he went to Samaria. He probably, they're not going to look for a Jew in Samaria. And he went there and he starts telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord really blesses him. I mean, he has gone into an area no one was thinking of taking the gospel at that time. I mean, Paul eventually went to the Gentiles and Peter with Cornelius. But he was breaking boundaries. He was breaking the mold. He was pushing back the boundaries and he was willing to take a risk. He had a fire in his soul because it tells us several times in that reading, wherever he went, he preached the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And I often say, where's the fire gone? Where's the fire? Jeremiah said of the Lord, he said, Lord, your word burns like a fire in my lips, on my lips. And on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus speaking to those two disciples, when they finally discovered who he was when he broke the bread, did not our hearts burn within us? And John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And I say, where's the fire gone? Where's the passion gone? And he is in the middle of a revival situation. He's preaching Jesus with great success. evil spirits are coming out, many people are healed, and there's great joy. There's great joy in the city. And I love Barclay, William Barclay, in one of his commentaries, he says, Christianity has never been a thing of words only. It brought light to men's minds and healing to their bodies. It's a counterfeit Christianity which brings an atmosphere of gloom. The real thing radiates joy wherever it comes. The real thing radiates joy wherever it comes. That's William Barclay. And it's a fascinating study of how God was moving at Pentecost and after Pentecost for many years. And I find it a fascinating study how the Holy Spirit of God was moving amongst different people groups. And we'll just look at a few. To the Jews after Pentecost, the message was repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that was followed by wonders and miracles. That's Acts 2, 38, 43. When you come to the Samaritans with Philip, it says they believed, baptized, the apostles come down from Jerusalem, and they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit when they prayed for them. And that was preceded by miracles, healing, demons being cast out, and great joy. And the Gentiles, Cornelius, Peter was asked to go, and he just was totally confused what God was telling him. Because you're telling me to go to Gentiles, Lord, we don't do that. You know, he said, well, I want you to go. This man's seeking after God. And Cornelius had had a vision, and Peter had a vision, and the two got together. And Peter was confused, because he just didn't think that God wanted to bless the Gentiles. And he said, because he had to explain himself to the apostles why he'd gone to the Gentiles. And he said, while I was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And he said, they heard my words, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. Then they wanted to be baptized. They spoke in tongues, praise God. And that was 8 years after Pentecost. And this, we can understand it. But for Peter, this would have been absolutely something amazing. He just couldn't understand why, because they were the chosen God's people. And for God to go to the Gentiles and take the good news of Jesus, and aren't you glad he did? Amen. 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 And then he goes to some Greeks in Ephesus, referred to as disciples. And they were baptized. Paul laid his hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And that was 20 years after Pentecost. So we've got the Greeks, the Gentiles, Samaritans, Jews. God's doing exciting things, isn't he? And Jesus warned, he said, look, the Holy Spirit's going to be like the wind. You're not sure where he's going to come from, where he's going to go. And it seems that what Jesus said was perfectly true. God was reaching out to people in different ways according to their needs. And as it says in Acts, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all peoples. And praise God. So we're in the middle of this revival situation. Philip was based in Jerusalem. And when persecution, he went north. He went north to the Samaritans. And while he's there, suddenly you've got this wonderful revival situation. Things are happening. He has to call reinforcements. He has to say, oh, guys, come across here. God's doing great things. Come and see what God's doing. And I can't do this on my own. Then he gets a message. I say he's good at hearing and he's good at obeying. Because that had been me, because the message he got was, Philip, yes, Lord, I want you to go to desert. That had been me. I said, why? There's great things happening here, Lord. People are being saved. People are being healed. People are being baptized. And in our day and age, they're being an alpha course. And why do you want me to go to the desert? That would be my question. Lord, why go to the desert? And if you're a pastor or an elder and your church is taking off, you do get people who suddenly get very strange callings. And and they question why. But in my old age, I've learned to obey the Lord and do what he says. It's far better that way. And Philip obeys the Lord. And he goes to he didn't know why he was going. He was just told to go to the desert. So then he had to go south again. So he's right up north. I don't know whether he skirted around Jerusalem or how he escaped the authorities, but he somehow went south down to the Gaza desert. And he's down there wondering, what am I doing here? And he's gone from this mass evangelism situation with powerful things happening. There's no one to see him. He's not in the limelight anymore. No one to witness what he's doing. And he sees one man on a chariot. And the Lord says, run to that chariot. And also go to the chariot. And in his enthusiasm, the Bible says he ran to the chariot. He just wanted to obey God. And he didn't know why. And he's running to the chariot and he hears the man reading the word of God. And the man doesn't understand it. And Philip says to him, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand it? He said, I've got a clue. Unless somebody explains it to me, how can I know? And he invited Philip up and he said, starting where he was at, he preached the gospel. That's interesting. I think some of you know, I went to Bible college very late in life, 51. And one of the exercises we had to do was to preach the gospel to a Jewish person and without using the New Testament. It's actually quite easy, but an interesting exercise. And he started with that passage of scripture from Isaiah, and he led him to the Lord. And the man says, I want to be baptized. And he was the Ethiopian. He was the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the Queen Candace. And it's interesting that in those days, Queen, her son, being the son, would have been king. And because he was king in Ethiopia, he would have been thought of and treated as a god. So all the affairs of state would have been too trivial for him. So Mum, Queen Candace, did all that. So in effect, she ruled. And I go to a gypsy camp at Staverton to take Bible studies, some lovely born-again Romanists. And we have Bible studies and they're so keen on the Word of God. But there's a very matriarchal figure there. She's my age. We've got 20 grandchildren. And I find it fascinating because the men think they rule, but they don't. Granny Gig does. Granny Gig runs outside. She holds the purse and she holds the power. And it's an interesting culture with the gypsies. So Queen Gantasia actually ran the place. Now, he made no assumptions. He finds common ground. And it's this guy. And it's interesting that you get one person saved. Now, isn't that fascinating? He's in a mass evangelism state. And the Lord says, go to the desert for one soul. What price can you put on a soul? You can't, can you? And I love Psalm 49, I think it is, where the psalmist is challenging. He says, well, what price can you put on a soul, on a man? You can read Psalm 49 later for homework. And he says in there, there is nothing, no money available enough to pay for the soul of a man that he should die and live again. And no other man can pay for another man. And then further along in that psalm, it says, but God will redeem me. God will save my soul. God will cause me to live forever. And God will love this man. And he saw him reading the scriptures and he arranged for Philip. What a great God we've got, that he cares about the individual. And so Philip there, he goes off and he leads him to the Lord. He baptizes him. And the man goes on. It's interesting that if you look at the history, there's nothing in the Bible about it, but we believe he became an evangelist or did evangelism in Ethiopia because they have found evidence of church buildings. And they have no explanation how they got there, or how the word got there, because it's nowhere in the scriptures did they go to Ethiopia. We assume maybe this man went back. We don't know, but we maybe did. I don't know if you saw a documentary on television a few months back about Ethiopia and the Ark. Anyone see the Ark, the claim of the Ark of the Covenant? They claim they've got the Ark of the Covenant, and they've got it in this building with a high fence round and guards. And I think, well, no, you've got to read Revelation 11. Because in the vision of John, he says, I saw the ark in heaven. So what the Ethiopians are claiming, I'm not sure. And then something amazing happens, which could have been quite useful to me this morning. So I've forgotten just how far you were away from me. I did make it in time. But it certainly said the Spirit took him up and took him to Azotus. Now, I've got several commentaries on Acts, and they all skip this one. You know, he just suddenly, the Spirit lifts him up and drops him in Azotus. What a great way to travel. Green energy, eco-friendly. And it says he started preaching the word of God. And he started sharing the word of God. And people got saved. He is just on fire for God. It says he preached in all the towns he went to. That's Acts 8:40. And as I said, make no assumptions when you meet people, and just meet them when they're at. We're finding there's a whole generation coming up, certainly on the streets. I've stopped giving Bibles out. I'll give New Testaments. I'll give Gospels. I'll give tracts. But because people try to treat the Bible like a novel. They start Genesis. And when they get to Leviticus, they start getting very confused about spots with hairs in it and yellow spots, green spots and blood and all sorts of things. So I tend to give out Gospels. And then when they become Christians and go on, give them Bibles. But I've had people say to me, what's this Old and New Testament? And I had a man in it was interesting how God worked. One of our guys in hospital, very ill through drug abuse, and a man in the next bed was a Christian. And he said, read John's Gospel. So I got a phone call from the chaplain. He said, man, he wants to talk to you. He said, strange things are happening to him. So I went, and he said, well, the man's gone now, but he told me to read John's Gospel and the Gideon's Bible. Well, he found one John, a letter of John. He didn't know one from the other. He just saw John, that's John. And you know, and he was reading a bit about if you walk in darkness, you're not in light. And God really spoke to him, and we were able to pray with him and lead him to the Lord. And he was going to have his leg amputated. We laid hands on him. We prayed for him, and his leg was healed, and it wasn't amputated. And they start injecting in the groin, I'm afraid. Veins break down, dirty needles, shared needles. But we see God working. Never assume anything. I was speaking at a youth club a few months back. They said, come and tell us, the young people, what you're doing on the streets. So I said, well, I'm Gloucester City Mission, and we take the gospel onto the streets of Gloucester. 14-year-old hand went up. I said, yeah, what do you want to know? He said, what's the gospel? What's the gospel? 14-year-old boy, you just said you take the gospel. What's the gospel? So that can be a great lead-in. You know, oh, this is what the gospel is. I was able to share that. But it made me realize you can assume nothing and you're speaking a language that they don't even understand or comprehend. And it thrilled me to be able to share and say what the gospel was. And I'm glad that he had the courage to interrupt me and ask, because I could have just carried on thinking he understood, but he didn't. Now, evangelism should be the heart of our churches in Christianity. It's quite amazing when you look through the Acts of the Apostles, how the church grew. I mean, after Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, Peter, the guy who totally messed up most of the time, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, 3,000 souls saved. And one thing we'd often refer to, you get to chapter 4, verse 4 of Acts, it tells us 5,000 were saved. So within a very short space of time, many, many people were coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Acts 12:24, the word increased and spread. And churches grow in different ways. They grow biologically. That's the young families, and my family, my children are doing their bit. It's a thrill to me to have my 8 grandchildren in the same church as I'm at. I find that such a blessing. And they're tearing around, and they want to climb on Granddad when he's singing hymns and want to climb in my arms. And I feel really blessed that my 8 grandchildren are in the same church. My daughters and their husbands with me. And one of my daughters really messed her life up when she was a teenager and got pregnant and all sorts. It put us a lot of heartache. And she went away from the Lord, married an unchristian. And it's a thrill to see her back with the Lord. She come back and she's a proper little evangelist at the school now. God is gracious, isn't he? There's that verse that says, he that began a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. And all when she was went away from God, it was giving us heartache and tears and frustration. I hung on to that verse. So if you've got someone you know who's gone away from the Lord, hang on to that verse. You know, he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. And then her husband got angry. He didn't want to know. And the reason he got angry, she said, why is he getting so angry, Dad? So I said, well, it's because of this. I said, when Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to leave them, he said, be comforted, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And if you read that account in John, I think it's John 15, it's odd. He doesn't say the Holy Spirit's going to come and you're going to prophesy and speak in tongues, you're going to heal, you're going to have all these wonderful fruits of the Spirit will develop in you and you'll have administration, evangelist, he didn't say that. He said the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to do is convict of sin.
You think, well, that's not nice, is it? All that guilt, 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 guilt. But you see, God knows what he's doing. Until that sin is dealt with, he can't give you his blessings. Until the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from sin and the Holy Spirit comes in and sets you free and you get assurance of heaven, the sin has to be dealt with before anything else. And I've had people who's in church whose partners aren't Christians. And they say, oh, Mike, would you pray for my husband? Or would you pray for my son? Or would you pray for my wife to become a Christian? And I say, you realize you're going to give him a tough time. Because I said, it says the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Man doesn't like to be convicted of sin. Man doesn't like to be told he's sin. In fact, now it's not PC to tell people they're sinners. And one of my daughters is an NEB, works as a nursery nurse. And she was told by her bosses, you don't say no. You don't say that's bad. You don't say that's naughty. You must say that's wrong. You've got to be positive. And I thought, well, no, God says you're a sinner. You've got to acknowledge that and come to him. And the other way the church grows is transfer of people. People change jobs, they change areas, or for whatever reasons they fall out with another church and they turn up at yours. And churches grow. And that's fine. Biologically, transfer of people, conversions. That's fine. But we want to see people saved and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and to see that growth. There was a verse which struck me when I was a young man as a Christian, and it stayed with me, 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that is in you, because you are my witnesses. And you look at the Gospels, you look at John, Andrew brings Peter to Christ. Philip brings Nathanael to Christ. He says, come and see this man. And then he brings some Greeks to Christ, and they brought each other's. And Paul said, I persuade men. We sit and argue and discuss. I want to encourage you, wherever you find yourself, be prepared in and out of season to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, of our Saviour. Because you never know who you're going to lead to the Lord. I've read many years ago the biography of Billy Graham. And there's a story in there of an old lady who couldn't get out much. And she did a lot of praying. And she used to watch the children going to school. And she felt the Lord say, that young man there, pray for him. And she said, in the biography, says she prayed and prayed, and it was Billy Graham. You never know, do you, who you're going to bring to the Lord. And Hudson Taylor, one of the greatest missionaries into inland China of our time, he wouldn't come to the Lord. He rejected his father, I think was a vicar, I think, and he just rejected the things of God at one time in his life. And it said his mother went away. And she was away somewhere. She locked herself in her hotel room and said, God, I ain't coming out of here till my son's saved. And it said she fasted and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. Till suddenly, and you'll recognize this if you're suddenly she felt she'd broken through. Suddenly felt an assurance that God had heard. And in the meanwhile, her son in an office had picked up a little tract about based on the words of the cross. It is finished. And he got saved through that tract and went on to become the greatest missionary. So I want to encourage you, if there's someone you're praying for, someone you love, someone who doesn't know the Lord, keep persevering. It might take a lifetime. And I remember leading my old gran to the Lord right on her deathbed. She really did cut it fine, gran, but she came to the Lord on her deathbed. So just, I want to encourage you, keep praying. And Paul wrote to Timothy, a young man, and he said, look, Timothy, don't be timid. Don't be timid. And he said, have a spirit of power, a spirit of dunamis, something that can be seen and working. I just want to encourage you on that. Do I hand back over to you now? Do we go to the next hymn? Yeah? What are we going to sing again? You did tell me, I've forgotten. Senior moment again. It's great having a bus pass. I can use senior moment for all things now.